And welcome to the Tales of the Long Box podcast. This is episode 221. Spotlight on Archie Comics Afterlife with Archie, number one, circa 2013. I am Chris Mosby. This is our Halloween episode.
Halloween 2000 and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking about Afterlife with Archie. And I was just telling the guys in the pre-show, this is a zombie apocalypse kind of thing. But art is done by Francesco Francavilla, which he does a lot of some kind of noir-looking stuff. But apparently this whole series was inspired by him doing a cover for the regular Life with Archie. See what they did there? Yeah. And is the first Archie comic that was to be sold only on the direct market, as in, quote, as in comic shops, for those people that don't know what that parlance means, opposed to on newsstands. It is also the company's first title not to be aimed at children and is rated teen. As it includes, and I quote, content and subject matter never explored in any other title they have published before, including extensive realistic violence, some gore, necrotic themes, disturbing scenes, and moderate language. Oh.
Necrotic themes.
Was conceived, yeah, I'm going to have to click on that to see what that means. The comic was conceived not long after Archie Comics officially dropped the Comics Code Authority standard from their entire lineup in 2011.
Was Francesco Francavilla, was he the one who did that the controversial Spider-Woman cover? Was that him?
No,
that's Milo Manara.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I knew it was something Italian sounding, so.
Yeah. Oh, wow. There's two volumes of this.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Wow. All right. That's we got trades and everything.
Hello, yes.
Only one so far. Published June 10th, 2014. All right. That's a little background on this thing. So we got some spooky, non-usual Archie things in here. No Comics Code Authority. Ooh.
Look at that. They thanked Stephen King, George Romero, Sam Raimi, and Bernie Wrightson on this thing.
Do they? Well, crap.
Awesome.
That's great. Sorry. No, that's cool.
All yours, Murray. Sorry.
Alrighty.
Oh, hey, I like these extra covers here.
The variants? Yeah.
Hubba hubba.
I think you're looking at the hot dog cover right now.
Oh, of course. Hold on.
Yes.
1 minute. You continue. My parents are on the phone. 1 second.
Excellent. Let's hear what's happening in Mosby Land.
Yes. Next week on Mosby Land, we will be visiting Mr. and Mrs. Mosby in
Totally. Alrighty, so we got Afterlife with Archie, number one. And, someone's coming down the stairs. Hang on.
Am I the only one who's being left alone here this morning? Apparently I am. Apparently no one wants to talk to Caleb. Everyone wants to bug Murray and Chris. Anyhow, so while they're talking to their significant family members, I will let you know that this current season of Walking Dead is awesome.
Yes, it is. We're back.
Right.
Yes. Sorry about that.
We had to step away for just a second as well. So I
was going
to regale the five or six people who actually listened that about how cool the latest season has been and how badass Carol was.
My God, that was awesome, wasn't it?
She was taking names and taking no shit from anyone.
I mean, totally blew her cover, but still. Wow.
And
alrighty, I'm all back.
All right.
Of course, we'll avoid spoilers about the recent death of a non-black man on Walking Dead.
Yeah,
shocking.
Been a while.
Shocking.
Well,
not black.
Well, yeah. Well, that is if he's actually dead. But anyway, continue.
Alrighty. So we got number one here. It's a story by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, who I know he did a little bit of work for Marvel. I know he's written for Glee.
Glee.
Yep, he was one of the Glee writers. Not sure if that.
Are we gonna
That's
get
new on me, man.
a time warp scene in here somewhere?
They may break out into song by the end of the issue.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember what he did for Marvel. He did some alternate Fantastic Four stuff. I cannot remember what else. I don't think he's done any DC work.
Let's see here. He
But he's
has
done other
done
big team.
Playwright.
Yeah, he's a playwright. He's like a he's like
Writer of plays.
everywhere.
Okay, now this is interesting. In 2003, he tried to do a Archie play, and Archie Comics issued a cease and desist order, threatening litigation if the play proceeded as written. But
So
apparently,
it did.
so I
The
guess they
Archie
made
dropped
up,
it.
so.
Yeah, they pulled them in.
He
They
was a
just wanted
co
another
yes.
crappy other media adaptation of the
Yeah, he
Archie
was
group.
approached by the troubled Broadway musical Spider-Man Turn Off the Dock
Oh,
Dark.
he did work on that.
Yeah, helped
Oh,
rewrite the
Jesus.
script. Let's see. He was hired as
Yeah.
co-producer and writer of Glee in May 2011. 2 months later, he was hired to write the comic book Archie Meets Glee.
That was a
That's too
comic
bad.
book.
Apparently.
Oh.
Scheduled to be published in 2013, but I don't think that was actually ever done. So, anyway.
I think it was. I've
Oh.
seen covers for it. I'm sure it's been done.
Okay. Well, anyway, there you go. Oh, Nightcrawler 1 through 12, November 20, 2004, 2006. Secret
Wait a minute. That
Invasion.
was
Oh, yeah, it
wasn't
is
that
right there.
I thought
Archie
that
meets
Nightcrawler
Glee.
was Chris Claremont.
This was in 2004. I think that Nightcrawler
Oh,
was a
okay. I
lot
thought you said
earlier.
2014. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, he did Archie Meets Glee in issues number 641 to 644, March 2013 to June 2013.
Oh, so it wasn't an actual standalone series. It's just the Glee crew
Yeah.
visited Riverdale.
Yes.
Ah, got
He's
it.
got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10
I
published
don't think
plays.
Riverdale is wheelchair accessible though, so they had may have had a
I don't
problem.
know.
What?
I'm
Of course.
sure. I'm sure they're writing that in as we speak.
Have you seen a kid in a wheelchair in Riverdale? Come on.
No, not really.
Thought not.
Gonna have to dig through and find something. I bet there is.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
I'm
bet
sure.
there
Well,
is.
for Christ's sake, I mean, they put a gay character getting married. They gotta have somebody in a wheelchair in there
I would hope
somewhere.
so.
Somewhere. All
They're
right.
black with an Asian father, so.
Okay, all right then.
Alrighty. Afterlife
Okay,
with
go.
Archie, issue one. We got the creative team out of the way there. And we open up with a splash page that says, "This is how the end of the world begins." Boom, boom, boom.
It's bleeding.
Yeah, very spooky.
Trump got elected.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That's a totally different podcast.
Spoiler warnings.
Oh my. Oh my. Alrighty, so it opens then. We've got poor old Jughead. He's running through the night.
First time he's running in 75 years of publishing.
That's very true. That's very true. He's not really like a healthy dude.
No.
Yeah, that's true. I guess not.
No. No, he's the guy that sits, lounges, eats the burgers, never gains an
Saunters.
ounce. But now he's running. He is running through the woods. He's carrying his poor dog, Hot Dog, and he's banging on the door of a like a an old haunted house type looking place, but it's really just the home of Sabrina, the teenage witch.
Oh, cool. Spellman, of course, duh.
Yeah, I had no idea who that was until I saw the next page.
That is right. And Sabrina's answer telling her, you know, when someone's knocking on the door this late at night, it is never good news. And Sabrina's like, ah, don't worry about it. I got this. And Jughead is at the door and he's got tears streaming down his face and he's begging for help because poor old Hot Dog is not looking good. He's all bloodied and damaged.
Yeah,
so
he
Sabrina
saving
sits him
throw
down.
Big time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
When does he have a Letterman jacket? What the hell?
I know, you don't see those anymore. I don't see them anymore. Maybe you guys see them down in the States. Maybe they're big down in...
Sort of.
Americaville.
Americaville.
Somewhere down there, there's got to be like a 1950s pocket where people are still wearing Letterman jackets.
I think we do, but only if we win in football, which we are. I think this is the first time in like ever that our high school team is winning. So, anyway.
There you go. So there'll be high school Letterman jackets all through the town.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be.
All right. So Sabrina gives him some tea, and he's like, what's in this? Is it some potion? And she's like, nope, just chamomile. It's going to calm you down. And the ants look, they're doing like some magic-y, hoodly-hoodly stuff over Hot Dog, and they're like, there's nothing we can do. Your dog's already lost its life essence. We're really sorry if he'd been sort of half alive when you'd brought him to us. We could have done something, but as it is, there is nothing we can do.
Yeah, he was not mostly dead. He was
no.
totally dead.
He was dead. Once the breath of life has left the body, there are limits even to the powers of witches. And Jughead is like, please, can't you just bring him back? And the ants are like, that is blasphemy. You're talking about necromancy. Necromancy. There we go. Get the right syllable there. You're talking about necromancy, boy. And these are like dangerous black magics. And they want nothing to do with it. And Jughead...
Hey, there's a crackoom at the top of the page.
Oh, there is. Yeah, well, there's lightning all over the place.
Okay, go ahead.
And Sabrina's like, I'm really sorry. I know how much you love your dog. And he's like, yep, as much as you love your cat, Salem. And he walks off, and that kind of hits Sabrina hard because her cat is very important to her.
She's looking very Gwen Stacy in that panel.
Yes,
she is. We don't get to see, is she wearing go-go boots? That would totally Gwen her out.
She's wearing the short...
Oh,
the,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Headband thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, she has a nice talk with her cat because, you know, she's a witch and the cat is a magical cat, so...
Oh my god, there's a choke in here.
Yes, there is.
It's a crocoon and a choke.
Where is Paul when we need him?
So Juggy brings his dog back and sets him in the doghouse and just goes to bed for a while. And Sabrina thinks and she realizes she has to do something. So she grabs some black magic books.
Necronomicon.
That's a very, very, very bad magic book. Very
yeah.
evil.
Yep. And her cat is warning her, if you do this, your ants are going to slaughter you. And she's like, no, you just got to cover for me. I'll be fine. I got to go help a friend. And so she goes to visit Juggy, and she's floating outside of his window. And she says, meet me outside my Hot Dog's doghouse and bring a shovel. And they... This is very Riverdale. Riverdale after hours.
He's very non... He doesn't seem at all infected by the fact that he's flying.
Yeah, they just fly through the air. He's got the dog and the shovel. And
he knows she's a witch, so I don't know, yeah. This is kind of weird for me, too. Of course, I don't read Archie on a regular basis, so I'm not sure what normal is.
Yeah, I don't think they interacted with Sabrina a whole lot. They were kind of separate.
She was a spin-out, though, from the Archie world.
For sure. But
you
they
made a TV show of it.
They did. Yes, they did.
That little sex pot. What's her name?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Anyway.
You go Google it. Anyway, they come down to this creek, or a swamp, actually, because there's nothing more spooky than a swamp.
Yes, yes.
And she tells...
And Riverdale, like Gotham, has all of the settings.
That's true.
All of the abandoned factories, etc. So.
Yes. Riverdale is to Gotham as something.
Gotham is to the rest of the world.
That's right. So Jughead is digging this hole for his dog in the swamp, and Sabrina's just watching. She's telling him, "I can't help. You got to do the work. You do the physical labor. I'll do the magic-y magic stuff."
It's only fair.
Sure. So he's digging this big grave, and she's doing some little reciting of incantations and spells and stuff. And then when the dog is all hidden away under the earth, she tells Jughead, "You go home and you wait. And Jughead, don't ever tell anyone what we did tonight."
This is like Pet Sematary. No wonder they thank Stephen King at the beginning.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's true. So Sabrina gets back, and her cat tells her, "Sorry, I tried to cover for you," but of course her aunts find out what's what. And... they are not happy at all.
Holy crap.
Yeah, they're...
they went medieval.
They've gone full-on witchy-poo here. And they tell her there's rules, and she's broken the rules, and they've gone, like, they've got big claws and giant teeth, and they're looking like they could go to a salon, actually. They need a... They need a weekend away.
It reminds me of a girl I dated once in high school.
They totally need a manicure. Anyway, they say witch law demands witch punishment, swift punishment. So they take away her powers for a year, and they banish her.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And they kneel her. They totally kneel her face with that, taking away her mouth.
That's right. She can't speak, and she's trying to explain herself, and then they zip her mouth shut. And they send her away for a year. And that's the last we see of her in this issue.
Wow.
Now, she comes back in the series later on, I believe. And then
this is still ongoing, according to the Wikipedia entry. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's an ongoing, and she gets her own series later on. I don't know if it's connected to this series or if it's just thematically connected.
Fear of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. As opposed to Fear of the Walking... Yeah, never mind.
Oh, good lord. I just read what happens. That's gruesome stuff. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, so then we actually get into Riverdale, like real Riverdale, and we're meeting like Archie and Betty and Veronica, and they're all out there. They're in the lockers, and they're trying to decide who gets to take Archie to the Halloween dance. And Veronica is, you know, making her move as she does. She's trying to find out whether Archie wants her to be a sexy witch or a sexy gypsy. And he doesn't really care. He's, you know, he's just happy being the object of every woman's affection here in Riverdale. Because then Betty comes up and she's like, "Look, we tossed a coin. I won. Archie's my date for the Halloween dance. Back off there, Veronica."
Good lord.
He must be packing down there, I swear to God.
Must be doing something.
It's a little unbelievable, isn't it?
Yes,
it is.
Which Hitchcock blonde do you want me to be, Archie? Janet Lee? Tippi Hedren from the Birds? Oh my goodness. I also have a sexy French maid costume, Archiekins. Oh my.
Yes, they're pulling out all the stops here. And poor old Arch just doesn't know what to do. So he goes into the gym locker room, and he's talking to Reggie, and he's like, "Reggie, I need your help. I don't know which lady to take. They both want me, blah, blah, blah." Reggie is not really listening. He's distracted.
Oh, now we know.
He's had a rough night. And through flashbacks, we learn that Reggie is the one that hit Hot Dog the
killer.
Dog. He's the dog killer. He feels bad about it.
Yeah, he does.
He feels terrible about it, but he's the one that's caused this horrible problem. So we've got Juggy. He's hanging out at home all day, waiting like he was told. And he's texting with Archie, and Archie's texting back. And he's just telling Archie that he doesn't feel well, that something's, you know. He's just not feeling well. Archie's fine with that. We get a few little moments with Dilton and Chuck, and they're arguing about which horror monster is going to be. Which horror monster is the worst? Is it Freddy Krueger? Is it Michael Myers? Which movie's the better than the other one? You know, as you do at lunches.
Sure, why not?
Mm-hmm. Superman beats Thor, no. Freddy Krueger guts Michael Myers. It's, yeah.
Exactly. Right, and really Juggy's just at home waiting for his dog. He's told his mom that his dog has apparently run off, and he's just waiting for Hot Dog to come home, and she, of course, lets him stay home because she knows how much the poor dog means to him, but nothing happens until that night. And we hear this growling, and it's foggy, and it's dark out, and Jughead goes out to investigate this strange noise. He's like, Hot Dog, is that you? Hot Dog, it's me, Jughead. And we've got this horrible, horrible, scary, scary Hot Dog looking dog that has sharp teeth. And, of course, Mao's down on Jughead's arm.
In a big way.
In a big way. It's like quite a chomp. Big, big chomp. I love that panel, too, the way they've got the chomp kind of overlaid over the black and white.
Yeah. I've always liked his stuff.
He does great movie.
That guy who was doing Green Arrow for a while and is now working on that Old Man Logan book with Bendis. And I love his stuff. Anyhow, he does the same moody lettering like that.
Yes. Very true. Alrighty, so the next day, it's all morning, it's sunny, Archie comes over to visit Jughead and see how he's feeling. Jughead's lying in bed, he looks terrible, he feels terrible, he's just feeling awful, and we see a little scene of him kind of wrapping his chewed up arm in bandages and stuff. He tells Archie...
8 hours,
hours later, and that arm is brutal. He tells Archie, there's no doctor that can help me. Don't get too close. It's just the flu. It's like the super flu, but you should go. You go to the dance and have some fun, and I'm gonna stay home and just kind of
chill. Whoa, Vampirella. Oh, sorry, I'm jumping up way too
fast. You're jumping ahead.
Sorry about that.
And Archie just, you know, he's making small talk. Bites that you're going to miss the dance. Big Ethel's going to be devastated, and Jughead says she'll live. Will she? We'll find out. And Archie asks, how's Hot Dog? Is he sick too? And Jughead's all terrified. He's like, what do you mean? And Archie just says nothing, but he's usually jumping all over me and slobbery, and today he's like under the porch and he won't come out, and he's howling and moaning. And Jughead says, you just got to leave him alone. No matter what, don't mess with him. And make sure my mom and dad leave him alone too. I'll coax him out later, okay? And
Archie said, this is the first time we've met Jughead's dad. I know we've seen his mom on occasion, but...
Yeah, I don't remember.
I have no knowledge of this universe. I am totally out of my element here. I know who the characters are, but that's about it.
Alrighty. So we go to the dance. And just before Archie leaves, Jughead says, you're a friend to the end, Archie.
You're a friend to the end, Arch.
Yep. Yes. And we go to the dance, and they're all, you know, you got vampires and you got Frankensteins, and they're all kind of dancing away, doing what they do.
Where's the band? Where's Josie and the Pussycats?
Oh, they should totally be here. Absolutely, yeah. They should.
Absolutely, yeah, that's right, they should.
And just at the bottom of the page, we flash back to Jughead's home, and we see his parents. And they're like, well, 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 look who's decided to grace us with his presence. Honey, why are you up? Did you decide to go to the dance after all? And Jughead is looking a little worse for wear, and he's not speaking anymore. He's just like.
Put his hat back on, though.
He did put his hat back on. That's important.
Sir.
And then we head back to the dance, and we see, yes, sexy Veronica wearing a Vampirella costume.
Who I think Archie has rights to, by the way. I think.
They did it one time. I think Dynamite has them now.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's fine.
And Betty's being a sexy nurse. And they're both, you know, arguing over who gets Archie. And he's like, all right, I'm heading out of here. I'm going to go hang out with Reggie for a little while. And he's wearing
his...
He is
so gay. He is so gay.
I know, he could have parlayed this into a couple of wonderful opportunities there, but...
Jesus. Stupidest high school kid on the planet.
But look at him. He's wearing his Captain Pureheart costume.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
I think so. I think that's the superhero character he was when he...
I think I've read some of that stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Captain Pureheart.
I think that was his name. Pureheart something or other. I don't know.
All right.
Anyway, we walk past Dilton and Chuck, and they're still arguing. Arguing the way you do. And then we get just a goofy scene between Mr. Weatherby and Miss... What is her name?
I have no idea.
The teacher?
Oh, yeah, the teacher.
This is... Beasley.
Beasley's the cafeteria. Grundy. Miss Grundy. There we go. And they're reminiscing to Halloween's long gone by when he tried to... Mr. Weatherby tried to seduce Miss Grundy in the cemetery, as you do. He's goofing around and scaring her, and she's having none of it. And they're just sitting out on a park bench, kind of supervising the dance, reminiscing, when, of course, Jughead wanders up, and now he's looking even more zombie-ish. He's got, like, the bent legs and the distended shoulders, and he's all kind of
shuffling
shadowy in the silhouettes. Yeah, he's shuffling. And Mr. Weatherby says, yeah, good evening, Mr. Jones, enjoying the night air. And we see Jughead do this giant leap, and he starts chewing on Mr. Yep.
That's not good.
He's a running zombie. What is that, 24?
What is that, 30 days later? Is that, was it?
28 days later, yeah. I need to watch that with the sound on. First time, I don't know, remember why, but it was on, and... I didn't want to wake anybody up, and it was back before you could get wireless earphones, and I ended up sitting watching that entire movie with the sound off. Very strange.
Gotcha.
Still pretty good, so I imagine with sound it's even better.
Maybe.
You never know these days, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, Mr. Weatherby.
Pureheart the Powerful, by the way.
That's it. Pureheart the Powerful. All righty. So Mr. Weatherby, he's been eaten. He is no longer with us.
Thanks.
And presumably, Miss Grundy is next. Although we don't know for sure.
No.
Instead, we get to see Reggie and Archie. They're having a chat. Reggie is not wearing a costume. He's not in the mood for Halloween. And Archie takes that to mean that something's definitely wrong, because Halloween is totally Reggie's favorite time of year. He can, like, goof around, and he can hit mailboxes and steal candy. This is, like, primo Reggie night, and he wants nothing to do with it. And he is just about ready to tell Archie about running over the dog when they're interrupted by Jughead, who just shambles into the dance there, and we get to see Jughead in all his zombie-like glory. And everyone, of course, thinks it's a costume, and they're like, oh, that's awesome. However, it finishes off with 10:15 p.m. Riverdale, full contagion imminent, to be continued. Boom, boom, boom.
Wow.
Boom, 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 indeed.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. We get a little letters page.
And Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, he actually won a Harvey Award.
Really?
Yeah. And then Francesco Francavilla has won an Eisner.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's got a creator-owned thing called a Black Beetle.
So,
It's on Dynamite. I always liked his stuff. He's done some Zorro and several other things.
it says here, all hell breaks loose. This is their sell point. All hell breaks loose when a fateful accident sets a series of events in motion that will threaten the town of Riverdale like never before. When the dead begin to rise, craving human flesh, it's up to Archie, Betty, and Veronica to fight for their lives against the zombie hordes led by their former pal Jughead.
Interesting.
Jughead is the mastermind zombie.
Yes, he's patient zero.
He has patience zero. Oh,
Oh,
hot dog is patience zero.
yeah, you're absolutely right. Very nice. Well, that was interesting.
I kind of
Well,
liked it. I could totally explore the rest of this series. I don't know how much of.
I could too. I could see myself doing that. I don't know why. It's just kind of interesting to see these characters in a different light, the goody two shoes kind, I guess.
I think it'd be interesting if they did bring in some of the other adjunct Riverdale characters as well. Like I said, like Josie and the Pussycats, or more of the Sabrina crowd, or any of those other. Again, I know there's like a zillion spin-offs from there.
Yeah, true. Well, now, isn't that
Good
interesting?
suggestion, gentlemen. I don't remember which one of you said it, so.
Let's see. They've done a lot of covers too, Francisco. Yes. It was his work. He did work on the Lone Ranger book, the covers of it.
You know what we did with the kids yesterday? Yesterday morning when it
What
was
did you do?
What did you do?
bright daylight out. So again, just picture it was bright daylight out. So we weren't totally the horrible parents that should be reported to Child Protective Services.
Right.
But we watched Blair Witch Project with our kids.
Oh man, that is something.
My oldest daughter was claiming that Five Nights at Freddy is like the scariest thing, and my wife and I just side glanced at each other, and so we pulled out the Blair Witch for the kids. And
Yeah, you need to tell them, you need to show them what real fear is. That, well, I went to the theater and saw that. I was lived in Washington State then.
there was when we saw it in the theater at the very end when they've got Mike in the corner, and it's I mean it's literally like 2 seconds before the end of the movie, this girl that was sitting a couple rows in front of us ran screaming out of the theater. True story.
Oh man, that would have scared the crap out of me. That's
So,
awesome.
it was awesome. It was
Yeah,
awesome.
that was something else, I have to admit.
No soundtrack, which was really, that made it even more, so you weren't like, made it more spooky because you weren't like told when to start expecting
Yeah.
the scary. So anyhow, that was our bad parenting slash Halloween moment of the year. It was, I think it exceeded when we watched Terminator and Terminator 2 with them.
Yeah,
That was
that's
up
good
there.
too.
Or perhaps when we watched Predator with them.
Oh, Predator, what a great movie.
So,
I need to
sorry.
get that on Blu-ray.
All our bad parenting moments are video related.
Well, that's fine. I don't think that's that bad. There's other movies depending on
It
what.
wasn't like it was Faces of Death, but I got
Yeah,
it.
yeah. Oh, God. I have a wonderful story about that. I'll have to tell
Sorry, I
sometime.
had to interject that little our moment from yesterday.
Well, I actually got a year off of kind of Halloween. Usually I'm the one that does the dragging the kids around all over the neighborhood and everything, and Stacy took them, and then my sister and around, and took them to their dad's, and I just handed out candy. So it was nice and relaxing. Watched some House.
Chris is all one for you, two for me. One for you,
That's
two.
pretty much it. They left me here with the candy. So, all right, I think that wraps it up for today. Hope you all had a safe and happy Halloween and got plenty of sugar rushes and got your kids all sugared up and sent them over to the grandma's house. Anyway, that's about it for this week. So, as always, you can send a email to podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com, or you can join us on the Facebook page. We've had a couple of people join lately that were actually comic book fans and not trying to sell Ray-Ban fake Ray-Ban sunglasses. That was nice. I've already started some conversations there. And what else? Yeah, on the actual episode, you can comment there as well. And I do believe that is it for this week.
Alrighty, we'll catch you next week.
All right.
Hasta.
Later.
I may have to get back on the Facebook. I've been off for about a week, so.
Uh-oh. And we're out.